I know more about sports than you, good sir.
Tis to laugh. Dare I say my grandmother could outsport you any day of the week.
Gentlemen, may I borrow your ear for a moment?
But of course!
BetDSI.net is an awesome site where you can play for free and win real cash. Are you a sports nut with a lot of confidence?
Thoroughly.
Maybe you're a casual fan with a flair for the stats.
Guilty!
Put your knowledge to the test and win real cash at BetDSI.net. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's just another way to enjoy the sport you already love. It's BetDSI.net.
Huzzah!
Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome to Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Merrick for Darren Millard. Darren and the boys making their way back from Nashville, site of the John Scott All-Star Game. Alongside Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison, Greg Gushinsky, as Jeff Blair would say, my co-conspirator on the MVSW podcast, where the kernel of this idea was initially planted. We'll begin the conversation by talking about John Scott. I want to get to the three-on-three, the Gary Bettman address to everyone, all the media and fans in Nashville. But so much of this John Scott phenomenon, and we'll do the deep dive right away, was, and we saw this last night on the panel with Damian Cox, who sort of did the going in, I felt one way, and coming out, I felt another way. Did John Scott's presence and performance both on and off the ice change your opinion, change anyone's opinion about either him the player, him the person, that role in the NHL, the legacy of that role in the NHL? It's a wide brush question. Essentially, what I'm asking is, what did you think of John Scott this weekend?
I thought it was great. I also think it's a one-off. I do.
Totally.
It was an all-star game that badly needed resuscitation, and they did a lot of great things with the game itself that did it. But, you know, the John Scott thing, it showed, it was funny because it became Rudy of hockey. And I think a lot of us, myself included, we were guilty of thinking it too much. Yeah. Really were. Like, the fans had it right. You know, just have some fun. The players had it right. They all, and, you know, Kevin Allen, when I talked to him on Friday, he brought up, he goes, I think John Scott's going to have a great weekend. Players love guys like him. Yep. First-line players take care of fourth-line players in hockey. And you know what? I thought, yeah, you know what? Instead of him being an embarrassment on the ice, I started changing my way of thinking. And this then morphed into what they're all, the quest for everything in sports is that real kind of human moment, that kind of thing. And they turned what had been an abysmal game last year and for many years into a Rudy story, a legit one. Yeah. And, you know, good. And the fans have spoken. The players have spoken. Nashville's spoken. And good on them. And good on John Scott.
John Scott, by the way, moments ago was just named the NHL's first star of the week. So
excellent.
The fairy tale continues.
My Scott, God, I might weep before this is over.
Oh, here comes the hardened, cynical Hall of Famer. Okay, Elmer Ferguson, what do you got?
Well, the one thing that it reminds you of, first and foremost, in fairness to John Scott and a lot of players in this league who might have suffered the same second guessing, if you will, to put it mildly, is that regardless of your role in this league, you don't get to be one of those 700 unless you've got some talent. You've been good at some level. Like, you've been an elite player, by and large, at some point in your career, and then you fall into place and you realize just how good some players become at that professional level, and you fall in well below, and obviously given his size, it was easy to figure out what kind of role he was going to fall into. I thought he conducted himself really well from start to finish.
Yep.
In terms of how he met with the media, how he spoke about the league, and that whole process of was he or wasn't he uninvited or persuaded to not go. Yeah.
Well, safe to say, we can all be on the same page. He wasn't the preferred candidate, let's just say.
But you know what? I wonder if that perception or reality of the NHL wanting to, or being the one that was trying to dissuade him from going, if that hadn't happened, might the public have done it instead?
That is,
they just were taken off the hook and he became the sympathetic villain.
That is a great point because, you know, last night before I went to bed, I sort of said, okay, now pull back on this entire story, right? Because we're so immersed in it and you get caught up in the emotion of it. I said, well, pull back here for a second. And look at what really happened. And there was, you know, John Scott, the player. There was, you know, the online voting. There was a momentum after the USA Today piece came out. And it just continued to gather and gather. And I thought to myself, the NHL's role in all of this. And I kind of came to the conclusion that without the NHL behaving the way that they did, rightly or wrongly, we can point fingers and find fault. If they don't behave that way, right down to the bitter end, when they tried to yank the football away from John Scott and say, hey, take your pick, Taylor Hall or Johnny Gaudreau, Roberto Luongo.
If they didn't do it, they would have got trashed.
If they didn't behave that way, though, would this have been this amazing story? Well, and the answer is no.
Absolutely.
The story needed the NHL to be the villain.
And the other part is, I don't know how much a villain they were or weren't. And I know the role of social media and the players can write those articles now, which are actually quite interesting. I believe that's John Scott's perception of things. I believe somebody probably tried to dissuade. I really cannot believe Gary Bettman and Bill Daly made it a front button topic. I can't believe the Montreal Canadiens, who are dying to win a game, got involved in a conspiracy to bring him over just so he wouldn't play.
What do you do with Mark Bergevin saying, I can't tell you why we made this trade?
Phoenix had to get a contract off the books.
Yeah. What did Bergevin say? That was believed initially. No. And then Bergevin said, well, I can't tell you why we made that part of the deal
This point.
Well, most guys don't tell you why they do.
He said at some point it will make sense.
And you know what? Yeah. Here's the X. I'm going to bring it ahead. You really believe Montreal was part of this?
I just don't think we have the full story yet.
Well, wait a second.
As to that
next
deal.
Next chapter.
I know they went out and signed Kevin Connaughton. And I know that they didn't want to, Montreal was going to take a contract.
575,000
versus Steve Downey's 1.8, and I get that. So, but even Bergevin said, listen, I can't tell you why that part was
I don't think you can tell anything
that's the other shoe that has to drop on that one.
Hey, how about this? Does John Scott now play for the Montreal Canadiens for a couple of games? Inject some light. What do you mean? They can't. What do they have to lose?
A playoff spot. They're a couple of points out. They're fighting for the playoff lives.
They're getting killed, so he's a guy
well-received.
They're not
a fourth-line player away from being a better hockey team.
He's not going to be the difference maker. To defer the booing off some Markov or somebody else for a game or two, maybe a short-term, quite willing to do it, surge of life and whatever that the fans love. What the heck? Why not?
Short answer is no.
Not sure I buy that one.
No, I say yes.
I say no.
That's why I'm here now. I'm supposed to doing it. That's why
you're tried
too.
Exactly. You tried that with the Montreal enforcer once scored.
Yeah,
we don't need to relive that one.
They gave me a Stanley Cup ring, but I'm in Toronto.
I do want to ask you about that role, though.
And I was impressed with how the players embraced him as well.
Yeah,
but that shouldn't be a surprise, though.
Not really.
To Gord's point, first-time players take care of... Like, one of the things that came through for me watching this yesterday, watching the entire weekend, was how much first-line players love the tough guys. It's a role they don't want to fulfill. They appreciate what goes into it. Now, I mentioned this to Trakos in the Post last week, that John Scott may be the final dinosaur. Like, that role doesn't exist in the NHL and won't from here on in. Like, that role is gonzo. It's a new NHL. There are no more heavyweights like that in the league. You just can't
play.
It's a new game, right? It's a new game. But in some ways, that was a tribute to the John Ferguson seniors, to the Dave Schultzes, to the Ty Domies, to the Tony Twists, to the Bob Proberts, guys that filled that role previous. And we saw for the first time right in front of us how much these first-line Johnny Gaudreau and Taylor Halls and Jaromir Jagr, these guys love.
But a lot of those guys weren't fourth-line guys or even third. A lot of those guys could play, like John Ferguson and Ty Domi, and, you know, in their prime of their career.
They're not all-stars.
No. But I think there's...
But they weren't just scrappers.
But there's an element of truth. Like, I believe what you say as well. But I also think it reflects on John Scott, the guy. Just the way he's been appreciated by fans. Like, not all tough guys connect with fans the same way. And I agree players, by and large, respect and appreciate what the tough guys have done. But he's a guy, and also he's a guy that gets sent out by the Buffalo coach to take on Phil Kessel in a preseason game. Like, seriously, he's willing to do whatever it takes. And I think it's a real credit to a 33-year-old guy who's played a lot of games and connected, and just the way he connected with the Nashville fans. Like, this is a guy that is a larger-than-life personality off the ice, if he was a star. And I think the public or whoever got it going to that said, yeah, it's not just any guy. It's a guy, if he was in your town or played for your team a little bit, you always had a soft, sentimental spot for.
Fans have always had. I mean, you guys have covered hockey longer than I have. Fans have always had a soft spot for their tough guys. And when have you ever heard a hockey player say, you know what the problem with our team is? Our fourth-line tough guy. Never. Never. I mean, you heard the whispers, our goalie can't stop a puck, or this guy can't turn anymore. When have you ever heard a player complain about the tough guy on their team?
No, they always say
when he doesn't show up.
But then he's not a tough guy.
Just guys that pick their spots.
They never complain. You're right.
That's when you complain about
it. But they never complain that he can't play. You're right. Whereas the management looks like he's tough but can't play.
Yeah.
But you're right. Players will appreciate, I think even nowadays still, even though it doesn't exist the same way, but you're right about that.
The one thing that we saw as well, and we've already seen the NBC number, and it's up 24%, and that's remarkable. The Canadian number still hasn't come in yet. But the John Scott phenomenon got a lot of people under the tent, and what they were able to see was some really good hockey. Like, we talk so much about entry points for sports and entry points for anything in life, for that matter. The entry point for this All-Star game for a lot, I mean, how many people have I talked to, you, Gordon, Scotty as well, have you talked to? I'm not really interested in the All-Star game, but I'm watching to see John Scott. And more people came under the tent, and what did they get? They got a really good product. Now, that may be clouded by the John Scott controversy right now, but...
People were intrigued by 3-on-3 going in. He became the extra attraction to see, was he going to be a train wreck under that circumstance.
But how many people did you talk to?
He gave it an extra push.
Totally. And what they saw was really good hockey. Like, at the end of it, John Scott was a magnet, and he drew people to a really cool event now. Like, people are walking away from that, regardless of John Scott, saying, that was good hockey.
It's kind of like
marketing. Yeah. Marketing 101. Let's have a sideshow every year. Is that
it's a one-off. It worked.
It's Donald Trump running for president and maybe winning. I don't know. I mean, just if you're watching peripherally, you're watching it out of fascination. It's a microcosm of it. But yeah, I was interested in the 3-on-3. I agree with that. They needed to save the game, and the NBA got the jump on thing years ago when they started the skills competition. Everybody has followed suit, rightly so, for that to make it more of a weekend. But the game part, they really had to do something dramatic. And I give them credit because you could not have another game like last year in Columbus. Yeah. You know, it still was a great weekend. And so I was intrigued by the 3-on-3 because I'm loving the 3-on-3. Then I was kind of intrigued what would happen. Like, would they start doing the four corners college basketball, slow the clock down before there was a time clock? You know, would you be passing it back to your goaltender if you had a 3-0 lead? Because that doesn't happen in 3-on-3. Normally the game ends, one team's happy, one team's upset, and you leave. So I was, and you saw four goaltenders got assists.
Yeah, that's right.
There had not been an assist in an All-Star game in 17 years, Arthur Zerbe, right? So,
ooh, nice touch.
So yeah, so there was a little bit of that. I was kind of wondering some of the strategy.
I enjoyed the game.
Yeah, I did too.
All the tournaments.
The second periods were better than the first periods because the scores were close and the intensity started to ramp up. The natural instinct of wanting to win the competition, unlike, you know, what the All-Star format became, kicked in for these guys, and it became very, very entertaining.
1-0. A 1-0 game.
Well, was this year the triumph of the goaltender at the All-Star?
Where's all the scoring and hockey gone?
Wow, you know what? Hang on. If I can pause on that, it has been an endless parade of bad news story every single week with hockey. Oh, the goal scoring is down. Oh, this player's in trouble. And then we have this gift. Now, it's a little bit of chaos, and you pull the pin out of a grenade, and you roll it in the room, and you don't know what's going to happen. And then there's this gift called John Scott, which nobody saw playing. You talk about the 6'8" Rudy, and that was John Scott. And there's this wonderful, a great story that whether you're a casual hockey fan, whether you're a hardened hockey fan, whether you're a hockey fan that is in the Hockey Hall of Fame like my colleague sitting across from me right now, you can't help but getting caught up in. Like, to me, this weekend was such a breath of fresh air for the NHL this season. Did you guys feel the same way?
Oh, I did, but you've got to address the Alexander Ovechkin and Jonathan Toews situation too, and other comparable situations down the road. So maybe that's why it needs a John Scott. Like, are you going to find that right mix that'll get those guys there, whether they're healthy or not, just even to appear?
See, I don't think you need it now, considering how good the game was.
That want to go, sign up if you want to play in the All-Star game.
I understand that part of it, but you know, part of the lure is, like, you didn't need Ovechkin and Toews in that game to sell it, right? John Scott was the Pied Piper for that one. Guys, come along. We're going to the All-Star game 3-on-3. And then when you got there, you realize, holy smokes, this isn't just pepper and parsley. This is the bowl of soup. And this is really good. Like, at the end of it, was anyone saying, oh, it would have been better with Toews and Ovechkin? No one said that. Because the game itself would still like to see them.
It would have been better, and you would have enjoyed seeing them more than your boyfriend over there, John Scott.
No, my boyfriend's coming up bottom of the hour, Greg Wyszynski from NBSW.
Once I saw John
podcast.
Get his little goal, then he ceased to be the story, and the other players took over and became very entertaining.
Oh, really? Whose name was getting chanted at the end? So that, come on, like, that was
from
the story.
From where I'm watching
the
game.
You may not have liked it, Scott,
I don't
but
care
that
what
was
the fans
story.
Are doing. That was fine. They got excited and building.
They're the ones
that
the All-Star game's for.
All right.
Well, no.
Who's
it's not?
For?
But it turned
out the media.
No, it's for the All-Star players to play. Now it's morphed into this thing, the best to play. That's all I'm saying. So I agree. Like, that's the concept of the All-Star game is the best show up in some environment. Yeah. How it morphed is great. I agree with it. Like, what they're chanting, and it's a lesson for all of us, and maybe we're overthinking it. So all I'm saying is, like, what? But still, I want to see Ovechkin and Toews if I'm there, and I'm turning on last night in a 3-on-3. And I love the John Scott. I don't know if there's a comparable Zemgus Girgensons John Scott story next year. I don't know. it's going to be hard pressed to do better than this. But
I think
I
want to
see the best guys. I do too.
So
I want to see Taves and Ovechkin and the comparable guys who are, you know, on the border and will take a pass if they can, if they have their druthers. I want to see them play.
I wonder how much of this is just a basic media/fan literacy 101 lesson, which is let's not take this thing too seriously. And to your point, Gord, let's not overthink this thing.
Absolutely. Totally.
We're not voting for the
Olympic
team.
There's nothing on the line here. It's not like a baseball all-star game where you're getting home field and the World Series. So it's just a fun weekend, and you hope that it's an entertaining weekend, and it was very entertaining.
Because chatting with Bill Daly once and Don Maloney, like, I believe those guys when they say, I can't believe how much talk this is precipitated. Like, Don Maloney's trying to run an Arizona Coyote team that's a very pleasant surprise, and I really don't believe... hey, I could be wrong, but I do not believe there was a high-level conspiracy or effort to keep John Scott off the team from NHL head office. I could be wrong, but that's my belief. I believe them.
I think it would have been the NHL's druthers if Arizona would have postponed the trade. I mean, you've sat in that seat before and said, you know what, we're going to do this deal, but let's hold it off for 2 weeks. And
I wish I'd said that.
It wasn't if John Scott was playing, and it wasn't if Jared Tenorti were playing, so injuries weren't an issue. Because I firmly believe the NHL, once it was obvious that John Scott wanted to go, that the NHL was, you know what, fine.
A lot of those trades.
We're fine with it.
No, but I mean, a trade, there's quite often just a window of opportunity for a trade. There just is. Even if it's, this isn't quite like the Seth Jones-Johansson trade. I got it. But quite often, there's just a window of, small window of opportunity in the thinking and being amenable on both sides to make a deal, and it can change. So if you really like the trade, you better make it, regardless of an all-star
and
game.
And Tenorti was becoming an issue with Montreal. In Montreal,
sure he was.
His teammates didn't like that he wasn't dressing and not playing. He only had a handful of games, and they had a lot of things unraveling and have a lot of things unraveling that team. Bergevin doesn't care what's the perception vis-a-vis the All-Star game. He's doing what he thinks is right for his team at that time.
Yeah.
He's not buying that, by the way. Just
no, I mean, I do keep going back and
but
forth.
I believe
I pin more of it on Arizona. I think they still could have paused the trade. It wasn't if Jared Tenorti was going to play for the Montreal Canadiens, and it wasn't as if the players that they sent over were going to play either. I think this is one that, if I'm the NHL, I say, couldn't you guys have just waited for the All-Star game? Because now we have to go through another layer of this. Now we have to go through another level of this, and now Mark Bergevin has
but
to get
But at the end of the
going.
Day, you would claim that was great for the game.
Because talking about it?
Boosted the All-Star game.
Part of it. It became part of the story, which was my original point. If the NHL doesn't act like this, it's not the big story.
What they have to decide now is this worth... Let's face it, if you're an average fan and you voted for John Scott, you think you've hit a grand slam, and you're probably right to think that way. So now what do you do next year? Do you say no write-ins? Like, what do you do? Like, I'm saying, that's what the NHL should think about. Like, who's next year's John Scott? If you're going to allow the balloting to be the same way, what would you
prediction?
Do? Yeah.
They open up the voting to everybody in the NHL, just like this year you could have voted in John Scott. But the internet vote counts as one vote. And there's also a blue ribbon panel who votes as well. So the internet becomes one, and then there's a panel of five or six who also represent one. So it won't be that the... online voting determines who's actually going, but becomes part of a collage of votes, let's just say. That's one way to go around it, if you're that concerned about it, or if you just have a shallow pool of two or three per each team you can choose from.
No, but is it not a good thing that the NHL is connected to their fans on a level the other sports haven't done? Like, do you have a comparable in any other...
I think this is... You know what this was to me in a lot of ways, guys, for the NHL? This was a free focus test. Companies spend so much money focus testing their audience. What's the appetite? What do you guys want? How do you feel about this? Was this nothing more than a free focus test for the NHL? These are what your fans, how they feel about this particular product, this particular person, this particular environment. Wasn't this just handing them what companies pay thousands of dollars for?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, in many ways it is, but I also go back to our original point that had the NHL not be perceived as the one that was trying to keep him out of the game, and we don't, you know, John Scott obviously mentioned that in his article, that the conversations, but regardless, if they weren't perceived as the ones trying to keep him out, would the fans have embraced them the same way, or would the NHL have been viewed as the dummies who allowed this to happen?
Well, I think the fans...
And I think it would be the latter, because that's where the meter swings on all of it.
Well, I think the fans would have been intrigued We're always going to be intrigued if John Scott was in the All-Star game.
I think fans love an underdog story. Well, yeah. And they would have seen him as a consummate
underdog.
But from
the word go, just look at it. I was intrigued, right? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's going to – if you can bet on the other conferences, I'm going to bet on the other divisions now, you know? And, again, I was overthinking it. I was guilty of overthinking it.
But wind back the tape, and I'm old enough that you still use the tape. Wind back the
tape. The razor blades and
exactly.
Cut it.
Exactly. Okay. And when this was first on the radar, before he became a sympathetic favorite, a lot of people were saying, how did the NHL allow this to happen? They were getting criticized for it.
No, but wait a second.
So it wasn't a popularity contest right from the get-go.
Most importantly, how did they allow games like that happen last year? Seriously, the Sunday last year in Columbus, and there have been many before, mm-hmm. How did they allow that to happen?
Okay, At the end of the day, this turned out perfect.
So they need it. So this was less of an animal to deal with their distraction than the game needed some serious rejigging, or you might as well forget the game. I mean, really. So, and this did a little bit of
both.
And
it worked. Big time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It was a home run all around. Like, I can't really find any person, any people. I can't find.
We're just debating on the conspiracy theory. That's what we're debating.
Well, you can grassy knoll this thing till whenever we find out more information when everyone's left their careers. But I can't find anyone who, I mean, you have to be the most hard, like, you have to have, like, the Grinchest. You know, the grinchiest heart that ever grinched if you didn't look at this All-Star weekend and come out of it with the warm and fuzzies. John Scott was a phenomenon. MVP, 2 goals, chanting his name. The All-Star games were fantastic. The skills competition were really entertaining. We haven't even talked about Dylan Larkin yet. Did you see anything about Shea Weber's slap shots? Jágr was fantastic in his, you know, farewell lap to the All-Star game. PK Subban coming out dressed, you know, with the Cooperalls and the mullet and the dressed like Garmick. Everything was a home run.
Who's the last player to be carried like John Scott was? When's the last time
the Kraut line when they were going to war?
Like, seriously, when's the last hockey player carried off like John Scott was ever?
Well, maybe ever, but certainly not at an All-Star game. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it was honestly it was delightful. It's a once in a lifetime experience. It's one of those things you can't recreate because it was organic.
And we're watching on TV. It's funny. You see, it's like he's on a game show, and he's won everything.
Won a fantasy camp?
Well, he's won everything. Like, whatever. He's like Hollywood Squares, and he gets all the squares. He's got everything.
And I'm sorry, he comes on the ice with the kids, and here's the van. We're going to drive, you know, your two new twins in. And it's like, good luck. Like, good luck watching that and not feeling something. Like, if you watch that and you don't feel something, you know what? Just stop and go away and do something else. It's just a great sports moment.
You're talking to Scott, right?
I'm trying to sell Scotty. Okay. Right, my old buddy who's not coming. I even got Damian on the panel last night to come along for the ride.
Oh, gosh.
I came along. I didn't get quite as emotional as you, but I came along.
It was fun.
And also, it was a nice story.
Give Nashville credit. Like, you know, David Poile said it to kick things off. You know, just like there's a lot of great venues. That's just become a real destination for teams wanting to go to. Everything being so close in the area around the arena, a perfect venue. So talk about a grand slam. I think that they definitely hit it out of the park, too.
They did a great job. Nashville, and I wasn't there, but from everything that we saw and everyone that we talked to, hit it out of the park. And how far have we come from Jim Balsillie opening up season tickets in Hamilton while the red carpet is happening at the NHL Awards in Toronto because he's going to take the Preds and take them to Cops Coliseum? All of a sudden, I mean, it does take a while, and it helps at the grassroots level, and winning helps as well. But Nashville's fine, thank you very much. Nashville's fine as a hockey market. And didn't this weekend cement it for a lot of people?
Well, Bob Gooden used to always argue there's always a couple in trouble, and they take turns. So you never know 15 years from now who. That's not a slight, but they're certainly very much fine right now. Absolutely.
What do you think, Scotty? Your feeling about Nashville after the weekend?
Oh, I think, well, they've been solid for a few years now. And, you know, it's they had to work hard at developing that market. They had to work hard at cementing their ownership group and getting the money there to make it work. And then David Poile put a winning product and an entertaining product on the ice. Yeah. There's a lot of factors that go into it. Is it a long term? Who knows? But it was a battle to get to where they are, no question.
But then they've done it without significant playoff success. That says a lot, because quite often that can be the litmus test about franchises that go south. It's one thing to have regular season success, but to get a series or two along the way, that's huge in building.
But the rink's in a great area, and The in-game experience is very entertaining. So they did a lot of good things around it to make it work as
and
well.
And as we saw this weekend, they've attached a personality to the team, to the area, to the venue, to everything. And once you have that association and that identity, and I know it's one of those buzz terms we use for hockey teams, but they really do have it. And not just with the team itself, but the entire organization and the area around the rink, whether it's, you know, getting out the hammers to smash cars out in front. Like, they have an identity. Like, you know, you're at a Nashville Predators game. There's some teams you can, you know, if you just, you know, go there and you don't have, you know, the right color jersey on, you don't really know which market you're in unless someone reminds you. But you know when you're in a hockey game in Nashville.
Well, and it probably helped, too, that the a lot of celebrities live there, country and Western celebrities, and a lot of them, as we saw, you know, on the benches yesterday. But over the years, have embraced that team as well.
Took a while. They were some of the ones that initially stepped up and said, oh, yeah, we're good for season tickets and corporate support. And then when it came to spiff the checks.
But there was, I remember Barry Trotz and the coaching staff, they used to get invited to barbecues at several stars' houses and whatnot.
All right.
Everybody goes with a winner.
You know, just the last quick thing is, what's the last All-Star game you remember now before the John Scott All-Star game, which you'll always remember? Like, I mean, I will remember John
it
Scott.
It would have been a Clarence Wales matchup,
it'd
right?
It'd be like, you know, Vinny Domfu scoring four. The war was starting. The anthem at Chicago Stadium in 91. I mean, the last decade,
I was at that game, and that was incredible.
But, I mean, I'm talking like the last, in all seriousness, not just our age, but 10, 15 years, I don't have one memory of an All-Star game.
Owen Nolan cold shot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, cold shot.
Dominic Hasek.
We got to hustle. We're heavy against it. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hockey Central at Noon. American for Millard, Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison. When we come back, the editor of the Puck Daddy blog, Greg Wyshynski, joins us, I believe, en route back from Nashville. Hockey Central at Noon continues on Sportsnet 590, the Fan simulcast on Sportsnet and the NHL Network stateside.
Hockey Central at Noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to the program, Hockey Central at Noon. American for Millard around the table. Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison being joined now. Oh, how shall we describe Greg Wyshynski? I guess it all depends on your editorial perspective and how you feel about this young man. The editor of the Puck Daddy blog and my co-conspirator on the MVSW podcast. Hello, Greg Wyshynski.
Thanks for ruining the All-Star game, Eric.
I know, you wrecked it, man. What a terrible experience that was. They'll think twice about ever having that much fun. Let's park the John Scott thing here for a second, Greg. Outside of that phenomenon, which sort of, you know, overrode everything that was the All-Star game, outside of that, what's your main takeaway from Nashville?
The bones of the game are really strong. Like, to a man, the players loved the new 3-on-3 format. And I think that's the best news for the NHL. Like, the John Scott thing, the conditions for it will be impossible to repeat. It's lightning in a bottle. It's a one-time thing. But ultimately, what it did was elevate a really, really good event into the stratosphere. And the 3-on-3 tournament injected drama. It injected the effort. And the best way I could put it is this. When you have in the normal All-Star game for the last, you know, many, many decades, we all complained about it not looking like a real hockey game. It was 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. You know, it was three periods. It resembled an actual regular season game, but the effort wasn't there. The hitting wasn't there. The drama, the intensity, none of it were there. In talking to the players last night, I feel like the 3-on-3 format tricks their brains into thinking they're playing 3-on-3 in overtime. Mm-hmm. There's usually no hitting in a 3-on-3 overtime. There's usually, you know, a ton of scoring chances in a 3-on-3 overtime. And to talk to the players last night, it's almost as if they felt more comfortable playing that style in an All-Star game versus trying to fake it in a 5-on-5 game.
I want to ask you as well, not to bring up John Scott and not to bring up Jonathan Toews and Alexander Ovechkin as much. Do you think the players are as invested in this that down the road they'll pass on Turks and Caicos, that part of why some guys would rather take a mulligan was just the game wasn't a real game, that because of the entertainment value, I take it they had the fun time they had, and then actually having a fun time on the ice, guys might rethink it?
Potentially, but I think the bigger factor in that, and again, you know, I feel really bad for Jonathan Toews that he get caught up in this policy for being sick. And all he is a guy that, you know, has played 400 games in the regular season, the playoffs in the last couple of years, and every outdoor game and the Olympics and everything else. I think the hope is that that bye week that they're building into the schedule beginning next season will give those players that might have lingering injuries or just need a break that extra bit of rest so they don't automatically think of the All-Star game weekend as being that. I mean, the way the Capitals went about it with Ovechkin was brazen, and it was almost borderline insulting to the NHL and the All-Star game that they just flat out said, our journey to the Cup is more important than this exhibition. And that's the last thing you want to see happen. And maybe the format does the trick, or maybe the bye week does the trick.
Is there anything as good as it was last night that you would tweak moving forward?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's tough to say, you know.
Like, were the period times right and all of that?
Everything's a bit obscured because of the John Scott filter, right? But the games themselves were really entertaining, and even in the 1-0 finale, I think it was just more evidence that it's about scoring chances and not necessarily goals when it comes to what makes hockey exciting. But changing things, I don't know. Like, I'm really intrigued to see what the NHL does cook up vis-a-vis fan voting next year, because there's going to be restrictions on it, and they're going to do everything they can to finally clamp down on it, which is what they should have done after Gergensen got in the game last year. So we'll see what happens.
Well, when I say changes or ask about changes, I wonder just about the length of the games, the number of players on the rosters. Do they add? I don't think you would subtract by any stretch, but do you add a body or two, that type of thing?
It wouldn't hurt. I mean, I'll tell you, I was in that Pacific Division locker room after the game. Those guys were gassed.
Yeah.
Corey Perry was saying, look at me, and we're all sweating. You know, it was definitely tough towards the end, especially at the end of the game when you had mad scrambles and extra skaters and everything like that. So a few more bodies on that roster wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. And what's the worst thing that happens is you get more rested players and a few more names in the All-Star game and maybe a few that have the levels of enthusiasm that John Scott had.
All right, let's get to John Scott, since you're a big part of it. When you look back at the weekend, it almost seemed as if, in a classic narrative sense, in a Hollywood, good guy, bad guy sort of script here, we had, as you would say in pro wrestling, the heel turn to babyface with John Scott. Going into this one, he was, he was the big, the goon of the NHL, and he was there to hurt people, and he's there for one reason. And by the end of it, you could not have created a bigger Hulk Hogan in the NHL than John Scott. From your point of view, as someone who's been part of this, from the very first conversation we had about it on the podcast, talk to us about your perception of the evolution of John Scott right through the All-Star weekend.
Well, you said it. I mean, the most interesting thing about it is that he wins the fan vote, and had it just been left alone, he goes to the All-Star game as the class clown, having been voted student council president, right? But it's that pushback from the Arizona Coyotes asking him to decline the invitation, and downplay the vote, and his refusal to do so, and then the trade happening, that all of a sudden people are stunned. He's in the AHL. Is he going to go or not? Oh my God, his wife is due to deliver a twin in a couple of weeks. And then the NHL's pushback, which of course was revealed in his Players Tribune story on Thursday, in which they bring up his daughters and how they feel about him being in the All-Star game. So it is that pushback. It is that sort of, fight against a man, the blue-collar guy, the Stone Cold Steve Austin against Vince McMahon, if you will, in this situation, that really elevated the Scott thing into something that was operatic and in the end ended up being sort of a hero's journey for the guy.
Okay, so now that it's happened, we all seem to accept it'll be a one-off. And I kind of compare it to years ago, Eddie the Eagle, right, at the Calgary Olympics. And everyone loved it, right? But it was a one-off because after that, there's no more. You got to jump more than 2 feet to be in the Olympics, right? So is that what you do when you say restrictions? Or, Greg, do you take it the other thing? Say, you know what? Let the fans speak. Every year, there should be a John Scott, whatever it may be. Like, whatever the fans feel. Who is the person that captures their imagination? And let's bring him back. What do you think of that?
I think it would be much more in line with the Rory Fitzpatrick thing a few years ago, where it was a lunch pail guy, a journeyman, somebody who you'd like to see get the spotlight in an All-Star weekend. It could never be Scott again.
Oh, I don't mean him. Sorry. I mean, let's have somebody like that. Like, you know, is this maybe a good thing?
That's what I mean. There could never be another guy like Scott because, you know, the NHL can't push back on it now. I mean, let's be honest here. Everything went right. Yeah. He gets into the game. He scores goals. He plays around. He has fun. Fans live vicariously through this guy. They don't put him in the MVP voting. The fans in the arena boo the Jumbotron and then chant MVP when he touches the puck. I mean, you're never going to be able to repeat those conditions. The best you can hope for is that maybe there's a new appreciation for the type of player Scott is. Not to say an enforcer, but to say a lower-line player who has scraped and clawed together a career, who bleeds for his teammates, who they all appreciate him. And maybe that guy gets in and you hear the same sorts of accolades.
How many people do you think were thinking that when they were hitting enter on the computer voting?
What's that?
How many people do you think were thinking that seriously in the beginning when they were hitting enter on the computer or however you vote online? Mm-hmm. Nobody was thinking warm and fuzzy.
What were they thinking?
What I was thinking is if you send John Scott there, he'll charm the pants off everyone, and he did. That if you hear as ex-teammates, whether it's in Minnesota, whether it's in Buffalo, whether it's in Chicago, whether it's in San Jose, whether it's in Arizona, they'll all say the same thing. This is a wonderful guy with a wonderful story.
Then find another guy next year. I'm saying, why not?
Oh, no, I get that. Yeah. No, I totally understand that.
You've got a different appreciation, understanding. Do you think the fans were thinking that?
I think
it turned out to be a wonderful story, but that wouldn't have been my initial thought.
Go ahead, Greg.
Warm and fuzzy is a straw man, though. Like, at the end of the day, the votes were cast because people weren't happy with the product. And they thought to themselves, okay, you've got this new thing, and wouldn't it be fun to see this player compete in this new thing and see what happens? Because the All-Star game had become more abundant, it become boring. So, I mean, at least that was the motivation for, I think, a lot of people. There might have been some malice there, and there might have been some, you know, people that wanted to, you know, see Scott embarrass himself there. But I think ultimately all the fans that got behind this thing got behind it because of John Scott, because he's the guy who once wore a T-shirt depicting himself scoring one of the only 5 goals he's scored in his career. Mm-hmm. And that type of guy is the guy who captures the zeitgeist and captures the imagination of fans and why this campaign worked while others have not.
Whatever the motivation, he was the right guy for the job.
Yeah. And that's why, to Greg's point, I agree. I mean, there were so many things. This Rubik's Cube clicked perfectly, and all the sides matched up at the end of it. Like, even right to the very moment where you saw Hall and Gaudreau and Luongo and the fans pushed back, right at the very end, you know, they were pulling the rug out from under him at that very, just when you think he has it again. It's the football in Peanuts, right, with Lucy and Charlie Brown. Like, right until the very end, they were putting hurdles in front of John Scott that the fans helped him leap over. You're never going to recreate that, ever.
And is Greg Schroeder, is that right? He orchestrated it all? Is that part of it?
I know Greg, and he's closer to Pigpen, but nonetheless, we'll digress. Hey, you know, if it weren't for John Scott, who would have stolen the weekend for you, Greg? Yager?
Yager by virtue of Subban. You know, without question. It was a great time. And the fact that you can mention the Yager-Subban thing or mention Pekka Rene trying to stop a puck with a guitar, and that's like the 20th most interesting thing that happened this weekend, tells you that the NHL hit it out of the park.
They did, and you know, we're just watching the Viz now. I love the nice touch with the old school Jofa with the visor on it, by the way, for Yarmir Yager. Like, and we're watching, you know, Brent Burns here with the Chewbacca mask and the kids, like all of it, Greg. I know I'm, you know, you do a radio show and a television program, and you try to find, you know, sort of a wedge area where you can, you know, pick two sides on things. But I'm having a hard time finding anything wrong with this weekend. Really, I'm just a bad host and a bad journalist.
they did a heck of a job.
And on that, we'll let you go. Greg, thanks as always for stopping by, pal.
Thanks, bud.
All right, get home. Greg Wyshynski, editor of the Puck and Daddy blog.
To your point, it was a perfect weekend.
Well, and it started off, I'm awesome. Reading the reports, so on Friday, and you've got that the Eastern Conference mascots jumped to a lead in the first competition, and then the Western Conference mascots won. I can't remember what the competitions were. I go, this is great. This is, you know, you're putting all these things. And the word fun, right? We try to manufacture it. You mentioned about marketing and getting focus groups, everything about
that's what it was.
And it just happened. It was organic fun.
This is where those hockey fans were with this vote, with this event.
They did it right. The fans did it right.
And you know what? Good for the NHL for letting it happen too.
Absolutely.
At the end of all, regardless of how you feel about the process, or not, he was in the game. and because the NHL let it happen. Speaking of the NHL news,
just one quick thing is that when they interviewed, I think it was Elliot interviewed John Scott's mother.
Yeah.
She was quick to point out that the NHL was top shelf with how they dealt with them.
Yep. And
through the whole experience.
He met with the commissioner.
Once it was all settled that he was going, that was top shelf. So
talked about meeting with the commissioner and cleared all the air and everything was fine. And good on Gary Bettman for doing that. Speaking of the commissioner, news over the weekend, and this happened some time ago, but the contract extension for Gary Bettman, which to John Shannon's point last night on television, should surprise exactly nobody. Regardless of how you feel about Gary Bettman, there's no disputing he's done a wonderful job in his position with this league, growing it from $400 million to just shy of $4
billion. Well, absolutely. And we have to keep in mind the days of thinking Judge Landis, the commissioner of baseball or something. Or
this isn't Clarence Campbell. He's not a president.
Well, yeah, well, exactly. And also, and they never really as much, they weren't, they were hired by the owners then too. I think now just the reality is that the person is hired by the commissioner of every league. Is, you know, the guy, the owner's guy. It's in their best interest to have a good product and work in the fans' best interest, but that's who we work for. He's done an excellent job. If I owned or was involved with a franchise, wow. You know, and the part that you look at it and you start reading, okay, through 2022, and then you can reopen the CBA 2019. I'm going, oh, please, please, the first I've heard, please, I hope neither side does a reopener. Two years early, but I saw him sitting. We all saw him sitting.
Bob Batterman still on retainer? Is that?
I don't know, but Don Fear and him were sitting together, and you're really hoping because he's going to carry it through the next part.
Yeah.
And that's where, as a fan, like the owners are happy and should be happy. As a fan, you're saying, really, do we always have to have a lockout when every CBA ends? And hopefully that won't be the case, but maybe that helps get it done, knowing Gary Bettman is the guy in charge on behalf of the league.
Yeah, nobody likes the labor side of it, but it's a fact of life. And sometimes that labor strife and the pain you go through there helps the business on both sides down the road. So it's short-term pain for long-term gain. But whatever way you want to look at that, at the end of the day, what I appreciate about Gary, he's grown the business. The players have gotten richer. He's put money in a lot of owners' pockets. Yeah. He's had an incredible knack of pulling rabbits / owners out of a hat troubled franchises.
Yeah.
And he's also allowed his hockey people to run the business of hockey, the game of hockey, as opposed to the business side. I think he listens to a lot of his senior hockey people before change is inflicted on the game.
NHL back on the ice tomorrow. We look forward to that. In the meantime, a lot of question marks about what happens with Dennis Weidman. And what, if any, suspension will be there? And I can't help but thinking to myself, you know, that official's in a tough spot, right? Don Henderson is in a tough spot. He, has to go back and officiate at Saddledome against all of those players and has to be on the ice with these guys. On the other hand, his fraternity is screaming for a long suspension. So when he's interviewed in all of this, which side does he come down on?
Well, and, you know, his brother's Archie Henderson.
You know, I saw him last week in
Archie
Vancouver.
Great character, tough guy, real character. And I researched all that went on a long time ago, but the Tom Lysiak flip.
The 20 games,
The rule, 67, whatever it was, which meant a 20-game suspension, which wasn't called in this game, right?
Although didn't Paul Holmgren punched an official?
I know, that's why it was set in place. Right? That's why the 20-game was put in place. Right. He only got, so the 20-game for anything, and then they modified it after that.
Right.
So, I mean, the call was made, which I don't think they made a call. Now, maybe nobody saw it. I don't know.
No, there's nothing on the ice.
So I don't know if that factors in.
That's why it's up to Gary Bettman or Colin Campbell or both they can pick a number.
Yeah, and does Don Henderson, does he say, look, any kind of number I think is enough that'll show that it's serious?
The line so you can satisfy the officials' organization and also make sure that Henderson can go back on the ice? Because at the end of it, I mean, you guys know how officials are with the players. He's got to go back on the ice with these guys.
Well, what do you think the problem would be?
You know how players treat officials to begin with.
Oh, no, but I think this was such a unique...
And he's not a referee. And I get that, but you think that's in the back of his mind as well? He's got to go back in that building. He's got to go back on the ice with those players.
But I think the players would feel for what he went through. I would think...
And they'd understand he's not...
In his recommendation...
I was going to say, don't you think his recommendation might have some sway here? Like, hey, boys, you want to throw 20 at him? Guys, can we get this down to a Dixie?
What's a Dixie?
I'm talking old-timey language here for you, Marty.
We haven't figured out an app yet. What's a Dixie?
Yeah. I still
What's a nap again, Gord?
About $1.99, I think.
That's what you have before dinner. That's what you told us in the break.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us on the John Scott edition of Hockey Central at noon. The regular fellas back tomorrow. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet. Thanks for joining us.